Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Most of you probably have an NASB. First Corinthians 14, we'll just do verses 1 through 5. It says, "Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets that you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened." Let's pray this morning. Father, we come into your house to seek your face and your presence. Lord, we want to be with you, and Lord, we want to learn your heart for us. God, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word today. And God, we want to just honor you with our worship this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For us, many of us have goals in life, and many of those goals are dictated by happiness and comfort, and maybe your goal is to get married and have a family and all those things that many of us pursue. And every decision that we make, whether we realize it or not, is based on our dominant values that we have. Some of these values we intentionally sort of write out or are aware of, but you can tell what your true values are by the decisions that you make and the behaviors that you have. And so some people have a value in life that where they base their decisions on is this value of having fun. You know, they don't want to live life unless it's fun. They don't want to do certain things unless it's fun. And people ask me all the time, you know, "Pastor Eugene, what do you like to do for fun?" And that question always sort of stumbles me, because as I examine that question, I realize that that's not really a value in my life, you know. And it's kind of, I feel very sad to say that about myself and embarrassed, in fact, because, you know, I want to be known as a person who, you know, likes to have fun, is fun to be around and things like that. But, you know, if I had to choose between work and having fun, I would actually choose work, you know. And it's because, you know, and I think I've said this to somebody, I think, you know, actually having fun in life is actually overrated. You know, it's like, you know, you have fun and then what, you know. And but that's just me, and I'm not saying, you know, it has to be a value of yours or whatever. It just happens to be me. But the point is, we make decisions based on the values we have. You know, and so if you get an invitation to do this or to do that, you know, you're going to choose the one that you think you're going to have more fun at. If your value is comfort in life, you know, if that's the thing that you wish that you had, you know, "I just want to be comfortable," then when you have two decisions, you're going to choose the easiest thing to do versus the harder thing to do. Some of us, it's safety, you know, we want to be safe. And so when you have a decision, you're going to choose the one that has the least amount of risk. Or maybe you have this value in your life, whether you know it or not, of approval. And so you're going to make a decision where you're going to receive the most affirmation. And so we live by these values, but as we look at the scriptures, we see in 1 Corinthians 14, and the reason why I read out of the New Living Translation is because in verse 1 it says, "Let love be your highest goal." In the NASB, I think it says, "Pursue love." In other words, let love be your pursuit. I think in the Message, Eugene Peterson says, "Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it." Wow, that's very strong words. And so as we live our lives and as we have values in life, the Bible tells us that it's love that needs to be the pursuit or the goal of life. And so when we make decisions between A and B, the decisions need to be not based on comfort or approval or fun or safety. It needs to be based on this value of love. Think about that the next time you have a tough decision to make. But you may say, well, in financial decisions and other business decisions, that love is irrelevant. You know, what does love have to do with some of the decisions? Well, the point is, don't let money or comfort or status be your aim. Let love be your greatest aim or your highest goal. God created the universe to love people. He doesn't have to love because he is love. And why did God put you on this earth? Well, the greatest commandment and the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love one another. And so our goal that needs to be done is to pursue love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, everything you must do must be done in love. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. You have the ability to love because you are made in the image of God. And God is love. And God loves us unconditionally, as you know. When we judge others or when we criticize others or when we put people down or when we are mean-spirited or when we're angry towards one another, you're actually putting yourself down because all of us are made in the image of God. You can't love others until you've received love yourself. What we understand or need to realize as we live our lives is love is a choice. Love is loving the irritating. Love is loving the awkward. Love is loving the annoying. That is what love is. It's because it's a choice. It's basically saying, I'm choosing today to love you. And this is the most prominent understood in a marriage relationship where maybe the attraction or the feelings are not there anymore. And so every single day when we wake up, we need to tell ourselves, today I choose to love you. You know, maybe yesterday you were a little bit irritating. Yesterday you were annoying. Maybe yesterday you were lazy, whatever it may be. But today I choose to love you because you were made in the image of God. God loves you. God loves me. And I choose to love you. In 1 John 3:18, it says that we let us not love with our words or tongues, but with action and in truth. And the Bible tells us that it commands us, in fact, to love one another. It's an actual command. See, because I cannot command you to have the feelings. You know, obviously we fall in love with somebody. You know, we're attracted to them. And we have all of these feelings, these positive feelings. But that's not love. Those are feelings. See, because I cannot command you, Ewan, be happy right now. Do it. That's not going to happen. Or on the contrary, I'm sure he's feeling fine today and he's feeling happy. But if I cannot command him, Ewan, be sad right now. I command you to be sad. And you try with all of your heart, okay, I'm going to be sad. And maybe you think of, you know, horrible things. You know, maybe you think of the death of your puppy or something like that. It's all okay. But generally speaking, I cannot command you to be happy. I cannot command you to be sad. I cannot command your emotions unless I do something, you know, to do that. But the Bible is saying you are commanded to love, and that is possible because love is a choice. And so I command you to choose love today. That whatever decisions you make this morning, it's not based on whether you're comfortable or happy or your status or approval or things like that. But let love be your highest goal. This is also so well illustrated to newborn parents or to new parents with a newborn child or a brand new baby. The fact is that, you know, the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and you have a choice to make. You can choose to love or you can choose to let your baby suffer, you know. You know, outside of sleep training and discipline and all these things, but, you know, your baby wakes up 5-6 times, you know, does poo-poo and pee-pee, you got to change the diaper. You have a choice to make, a choice to love. Oh, but, you know, Pastor Eugene, that's not really love. That's my duty and that's my responsibility as a parent to change the diaper, to wake up, you know, at 2 a.m. to do those things, to feed the baby every 2 hours. That's not really love. You know, it's my duty or responsibility. Okay. Well, maybe our duty and responsibility as Christians is to love. If you want to call it that, then let's call it that. That our goal, our duty, our responsibility as believers in Christ is to love. I mean, as a newborn, as a new parent, that is your only decision that you can make, is to choose love at 2 a.m, 3 a.m. When my father was ill, he was in the hospital for 10 years. My mom would visit, especially the first, you know, 2 to 5 years, every single day. He was in a nursing home, and he had 24-hour care around the clock. But she would still visit, not because she wanted to, not because it was easy, not because it was difficult, because the value there was not comfort. The value there was not even happiness. In fact, my dad would be abusive sometimes, you know, just because of his physical condition and his mental condition. And so it was not easy to do that, but she did that out of love. It was a choice. It wasn't because she felt like it. And so sometimes we have to learn in that love to be patient with someone who's irritable, to respond in kindness and politeness. That is love. That is love. You don't learn love by listening to a sermon. You don't learn love by coming to EMP. You learn love by facing conflict, by facing difficulties, by facing challenges. You learn love by actually doing loving things. And so this morning I want to sort of ask you of how well are you doing in your relationship with God? How well are you doing in Christ? How do you gauge those things? Well, the Bible, I think, makes it very clear that you can gauge your walk with God based on your ability or based on how much you are loving one another, how much you're loving your brothers and sisters, how much you are loving God. That is the spiritual gauge on how well you know. It's easy to ask somebody, well, how are you doing, you know, with your walk with God? And our answers are usually based on a feeling. It's like, oh, I'm doing really bad with God because, you know, I have all this guilt and I haven't done this and I haven't done that and, you know, I haven't been spending time with Him, you know. But a true gauge of how well you're doing with God is your capacity to love someone. The capacity to love the poor, the capacity to love the unlovable, the capacity to love those who Jesus loves. So how well do you love your parents right now? How well do you love your spouse right now, your relatives, your coworkers, your neighbors, or a difficult person in your life? Because the Bible says it's easy to love someone who is lovable. It's easy to love somebody who's easy to love, but that's not the type of love that changes the world. That's not the type of love that Jesus died for. That's not the type of love that Christ died on the cross for, is to love those who are unlovable, to love those who are forgotten, to love those who are annoying and irritating, to love those, to really stretch your capacity to love. And so my question this morning is, how serious are we about being a loving person? If you look at other religions and sort of their sort of idea is that at this is the central person and the followers of that central person, their goal is to sort of isolate themselves in order to be holy, to separate, to achieve, you know, whatever by isolation and emptying themselves and these things. But Christianity shows us that we are to be with people and to love them. And so my goal and my desire is not to commit to growing in tongues or prophecy or spiritual gifts, but it's to grow in love. And as you see in chapter 14, it's this whole discourse on spiritual gifts, tongues and prophecy. But verse 1, before it goes into a description of what it is, it says, let love be your highest goal. And then it goes, but I want you to desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. In the chapter before, chapter 13, it's the love chapter. It talks about love as patient, kind, and all these things, and then it goes into this discourse of spiritual gifts and things like that. Having said all of that, these spiritual gifts are great, and as Pastor Sam is going to talk on Sunday about tongues and these things, yet what triumphs over all of those things is love. And so I want us this morning to commit to growing in that, to learn how Jesus loved, to develop the habits of love, and to trust God to help you grow deeper I find myself, every time that I do something unloving, that it really grieves the heart of God. Because God doesn't just have love, He is love. That is His identity. That is His character. That is who He is. And every time I do unloving things, I get further and further into being like Christ. So this morning, as we listen to our devotional, let love be our highest goal. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. This morning, I just want to make it very easy for us. I mean, many times we feel like it's a complicated life that we live. Many times we're like, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? Am I supposed to witness? Am I supposed to evangelize? Am I supposed to pray? Am I supposed to read the Bible? What am I supposed to do? Man, there's so many things that I'm supposed to do. Well, let's make it very simple. In everything you do, let love be your highest goal. See, because witnessing and evangelism, that's an extension of love. Prayer is an extension of love. Reading God's word is an extension of love because you love Him, you want to get to know Him. Prophesying, speaking in tongues, it is all an extension of love. And so let's not make this Christian life so difficult. Can you say that your life is marked with love? Can people around you, your coworkers, can your family say, man, she is a woman of incredible love? It's that kind of love that changes the world. It's that kind of love that transforms lives. It's that kind of love that brings your unsaved, non-believing loved ones to Christ. It isn't arguments. It isn't doctrine. It isn't debates. That they can they see that, man, this my brother loves me more than anyone else in the entire world. And let your love point people to Christ. So as we sing this song of worship, let's sing it because let love be our goal. Let love be our greatest aim. Let's sing this together.
Tears.
see our projectors are not working this morning, and so we're going to just pray and intercede for those maybe personally that you know that is sick with cancer. And if you remember, there's Connie's aunt and Kian's mom and Rachel's friend Jeremy Kong with leukemia and things like that. And so just lift up those who are sick with different infirmities, whether it be cancer or going through chemo or going through a transplant. If you can remember our Chongs, the missionaries, their cousin Vince needs a bone marrow transplant. And there's others going through chemotherapy. Lizzie, if you don't know, she's a three-year-old girl with brain cancer. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up those with cancer. Let's just pray against those sick with cancer. Already, let's lift up those who are dealing with chronic sickness and different infirmities. And so let's pray for Matt and Nate's mom and ability to walk and pain in the leg. Let's pray for Pastor Colin in New Zealand, who is a new person, a pastor who went on a mission trip and just suffered incredible injuries, was attacked. And so let's lift up Pastor Colin. Let's lift up Ashley Blair's family, dad, mom, brother, for Cadence's grandfather, Leanne Chang's dad with ALS. So let's just lift up those who are just chronically ill and just ask the Lord to heal them. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs, and let's pray for Hige, Katharina, Rainbow, Tracy, Mark Starnes, Isabel, Rachel Nan, James Chia, Daniel Park, Connie Chan, Raina Cho, John Chang, Samuel Buchanan. And if you could just remember those names, and let's just lift them up together collectively and individually. Let's ask God to open the doors. Let's pray for them. Focus this morning, and today we're focusing on China, and so let's lift up our SB Beijing, and just hearing great reports after retreat that they're just totally on fire, and I believe it's the answer to our prayers every morning, and so let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray for the Chongs, for Matt Nate's parents, for Leanne Chang, the Basarabas, Edie Clark, the GGR kids, and the churches there. So let's lift up our China contacts and our missionaries. Let's lift them up right now. Also pray for our SB staff, for the board of directors, for the missions committee, and ask the Lord to give them wisdom and guidance in all decisions, and let's ask the Lord to bless them. So let's lift up our SB staff, board of directors, and our missions committee. So let's pray. Lift up the Korean church, and let's ask the Lord to truly bless them, and that they would have up our house churches that are meeting today in Bonham, Kowloon, LKF, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. And so let's lift up their sessions today as they communicate and as they discuss and as they have conversations, fellowship. Let's ask the Lord to truly bring them together in love. So let's lift up those house churches right now. For them. God, we just pray for your presence, God. We thank you in Jesus' name.